This is the Quality News Network. Despite a White House veto threat, House Democrats moved ahead with a $50 billion spending bill, funding meant for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The legislation includes a call for U.S. troops to begin withdrawing from Iraq in the next 30 days of its passage. The headquarters of Iraq's most influential Sunni cleric group taken by storm today. Iraqi authorities seized the office held by the Association of Muslim Scholars, accusing the group of publicly supporting Sunni insurgent goals and al-Qaeda in Iraq. Attorney General Michael Mukasey officially sworn in today during a formal ceremony performed by U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts at the Justice Department. It was the second swearing-in held for the former federal justice selected to replace former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. A newly issued report from federal investigators says that the shooting deaths of at least 14 Iraqi civilians in Haditha were unjustified. Security guards from Blackwater, USA being blamed for those deaths, which authorities now say violated rules of deadly force. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says he intends to step down from his military post by the end of the month. He says he'll run for re-election as president of Pakistan as a private citizen when balloting is held in February. President Bush has encouraged the latest move, but also wants Musharraf to end martial law and hold elections at their earlier scheduled time in early January. The prime ministers of North and South Korea met in Seoul today for the first talks between the two nations in 15 years. Diplomatic discussions are seen as a major step towards reconciliation between the two countries after nearly six decades. Day two of commuter confusion and tie-ups throughout France as rail unions voted to continue a nationwide transport strike. French workers nearly shut down the Paris metro and the national rail network to protest economic reform plans of President Nicolas Sarkozy. Oral Roberts University President Richard Roberts receiving a near-unanimous vote of no confidence today from tenured university faculty. Roberts and his wife face accusations that they misspent university funds to support a lavish lifestyle. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news. That's just ahead. But first, this message.
Behaving in a civil manner is the foundation of a civilized society. The Roman philosopher and emperor Marcus Aurelius said, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. If you think in a civil tone, you will reflect civility to others. When we are civil, we aren't at war. We aren't fighting. When we are civil, there is no crime. When we are civil, we enrich the lives of all the people we meet. When we are civil, we are healthier and happier." The Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. It is our choice to be civil rather than hostile or aloof. Sharing our inherent goodness contributes to the common weal in a way that benefits not only our society, but ourselves, deeply, importantly, and eternally." For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Two people were killed when a powerful earthquake struck northern Chile today. The magnitude 7.7 shaker came from a desert region of the country, a rocking neighboring Peru and Bolivia, but hitting too far from ocean waters to trigger a tsunami. USDA officials estimate that 35 million Americans went hungry last year, and they say more needs to be done to feed people. More than 12 million American households regularly had difficulty getting enough food to eat during the year 2006. A Harvard biologist says scientists have discovered as few as 10% of plants, animals, and minerals now living on Earth. Edward O. Wilson says when trying to diagnose the health of an ecosystem, scientists are in the position of a doctor trying to treat a patient, knowing only 10% of the organs. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he'll take steps to break down the secrecy around the Federal Reserve. One of those measures will be to inform the country about the economy's health four times a year as opposed to just twice. Light sweet crude oil trading at $94.90, make that 9 cents rather, a barrel, currently on the New York Mercantile Exchange, gold at $814.70 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 76 points to end at 13,231. And there's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Thank you. Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Good evening, everybody. It's 10 o'clock here in Chicago, the Windy City, city of the big shoulder, city of many names, city of lights, city of stars, city of... No, that's Paris. What the hell? What the hell? That's wrong country. How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. As Bob Kincaid said, I am Joe Vecchio. I am the voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker and anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. And once Bush is out of office, I'm going to have to find another tagline for that. But we'll worry about that if and when that comes to pass. And I say if because you never know what these crazy rat bastards are going to try next. How's everybody doing tonight? I hope you're all having a good evening. It's a bit chilly out today here in Chicago. It started out warm and cooled off. Before I do anything else, before I say anything else, I have an announcement to make. First of all, tomorrow night, I will not be live on the air tomorrow night, Thursday, November 15th, because it's my birthday, and I'm not going to be doing this on my birthday. I don't know what I'll be doing, but I won't be doing this. I'm sorry, but maybe I'll just get some sleep. You know, at my age, I'll be 46. At my age, sleep is as good as a good a present as you can get. Anyway, so there will be no show. I will be back on Friday, but here's the real important announcement. Friday will be... And let me make this clear, and I just discussed this with my boss, my good friend Bob Kincaid, that Friday will be my last live show here on, at least for the foreseeable future, here on the Head On Network. And the reason being, not because I want to stop doing the live shows, it's just simply because this particular time slot, which is pretty much the only time slot available to me, is really not jiving with me as far as my sleep conditions are concerned. I mean, I have a tough enough time getting to sleep to begin with, and sometimes I get tired. I have to get up. Keep in mind, I have to get up at 20 after 6 every morning in order to get to work, and this show finishes up at 11 o'clock, and sometimes it's hard to get back to sleep, you know, once you get all fired up to do the show. But I'm not leaving the show. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be doing a weekly show. I'm going to be going on Saturdays. We haven't determined exactly what time yet. For the next week, I'll be off the air, I guess in reruns during the week, but I will start doing a pre-recorded show starting not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday. So it gives me a little bit more time to prepare and to put something together. And I won't be able to take your phone calls, which is a disappointment. But, according to Bob, I'll be rotating all weekend. So, yeah, that's great. That's, look. Let's face it, guys and gals. The truth of the matter is that none of us here get paid for this gig, and I have a work schedule that I have to work around. And as much as I, much as I would prefer doing the show, regularly and doing a regular daily show, an hour, 2 hours, live show. As much as I would like to do that, quite frankly, this doesn't pay, and I have to do other things to pay the bills. So, but like I said, I'm not leaving the network, so don't, everybody in the Head On Network say, oh, we'll miss you. No, you're not going to miss me. I'll still be there on White Rose Society. I'll still be there on the weekends on the rotating schedule on the Head On Network. So, that's cool. And I'll be joining my good friend Billy Shears with Night Sounds, Rick's Place and the Swords Reports, and yes, Bob, I will be there in the chat room. On the weekends, I will drop in. I actually have a better opportunities to get into chat rooms on the weekends because my current job, we don't work on the weekends at all. We close up the shop because the Merchandise Mart, really, there's a lot of professionals in there, so they really don't do a lot of weekend business in that end. So I'm sorry about it. I would prefer to keep up doing the daily live show, but let's face it, when I'm not getting paid money for it, I have to concentrate on the thing that's paying the bills, even if it's barely paying the bills. That's the reality of the situation, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reality of it. So it was something that took me a while to think. I mean, I first really discussed it with Bob tonight, but I've been kind of thinking about it because you've heard me yawning during a couple of shows, and you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. But anyway, just want to let you know that. Tomorrow is my 46th birthday, and Kathy would have been 48. She and I had the same birthday, so I'll be celebrating her birthday as well as mine. What's really weird is that, and I think I've mentioned this before, Kathy's sister and my sister also have the same birthday, September 25th. And my sister's daughter, my niece, has my sister's birthday. She was born, in fact, 20 years to the day. My sister was 20 years old exactly when my niece Kathy was born. So, at any rate, oh, hey, Ray Hinckley is in the chat room, and Billy Shears has just joined us in the chat room. If you want to join us here in the chat room, you just head on Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com, and click on the live chat, and you can talk to all of us here in the Head On chat room. We've got a lot of great people there. Billy Shears, of course, who does a great weekend show, Night Sounds. Good friend Bob Kincaid, my boss, and of course the host of Head On Network, the boss of the Head On Network, and also the host of the Head On Show. Cobwebs, myself, ELO, ND Fraud, Frozen Soul, Lotter J, On the Road, our good friend Peter Godfold, who by the way did another great show tonight, and thanks for leading me in. Ralps, and my good friend Ray Hinckley from UnreportedNews.net, the sponsor of the Cup of Joe radio show, kind of, sort of. So, anyway, just wanted to let you know that, and just, you know, keep you posted on everything that's going on. I had it started out as a kind of nasty day at work, and I had one of those days at work that you really wish you could forget. There were some things that I wanted to accomplish today as far as getting a computer set up to do some work and to help us out, and I kind of got distracted, and I got in this morning, and there was a rush order, and I thought, to myself, you know, okay, I got to get this thing out. So, and it was a big job, like 100 prints, well, 85, 86 prints, and so I had to get it, rush it out, and I get it there, because it had to be done by 10 o'clock. So I get it all together, and I get it finished, and I'm like, all right, it's not, the pictures aren't quite as good as I would like, but I got them done. And then a lady comes and says, all right, are my CDs ready? And I, oh, no. And I look at the order, and it wasn't for prints. It was for 10 copies of CDs. And I was so pissed off at myself. And my boss wasn't happy, but he understood. I make aggressive errors. And sometimes I get so caught up in something that I'm doing that I just, you know, I have brain farts. Okay? So... But it turned out to be a good day overall. You know, my boss was, you know, he understands because he knows I'm just being aggressive and I'm trying to make the place better. And I really am worried about the future of this business. You know, it is a very tough business to be in. And I was talking to Zavin, my boss, today about that. And I said, this is a tough business. Even when you get the finance and you make all the changes, there's no guarantee. And he said, don't worry. We're going to be okay. We're going to do good business. You're going to be big-time supervisor here. So I'm looking for that. Yeah, aggressive errors, Bob. You never heard about that? I used to use that when I was doing a little coaching for kids' softball teams. I would tell them, take an extra base. Be aggressive. You know, make them throw the ball. Make them make the mistakes because, you know, these guys are not professionals. You know, if you try to take an extra base, 9 times out of 10 they're going to throw the ball away or the guy's going to drop it. So... But anyway, oh, I got to mention this. I talked about this, I think, on Monday. As some of you, my friends who live in Georgia, know, you guys are having a very serious drought there, very serious situations. And it's one of those things that it wouldn't be such a disaster if you knew how to water manage properly, if you didn't live your life being, you know, just a bunch of gluttons, as the southern suburbia can be that way. And Governor Perdue, who's just you know, you make it's one of those guys you just want to go up there and smack because he got voted into office simply by promising the stupid rednecks that he would put the Confederate flag back on the state flag. the Confederate symbol. And, of course, he didn't do that, which made the rednecks mad at him, but then he didn't care because now he's in office and he keeps getting reelected. But he said, well, you know, the only thing we can do about the weather is to pray to God, so we're going to have a prayer on Tuesday. We're going to have prayer on Tuesday to make it rain. Now, of course, he picked Tuesday because on Tuesday there was supposed to be rain. The forecast was rain. So they go, oh, you see, God listens to me. You know, and it really makes you think about this because, and somebody pointed out the obvious on a blog somewhere, and I forget where I read it, but it is a pretty obvious question. If God knows everything, why does he need prayer for stuff like this? Why does he need a little extra? Have you noticed that it's drying up down here and we can use some rain? Have you noticed that, God? I don't think God really needs to be reminded like that. But, of course, you know, they did the prayer thing, and, of course, it hasn't rained. In fact, they changed their forecast. They're not sure it's going to rain for another couple of weeks yet in Atlanta. And it just boggles my mind that it's such a waste of time and energy. And they did have some free thinkers, some atheists, or I guess whatever, who are protesting this whole waste of government time and money. And well, they should. But, hell, it's Georgia. Hell, it's America. You know, nobody in this country who is an admitted atheist or agnostic or at least open about it and discusses it in any way is going to get elected to any position short of dog catcher. You know, and even then, I'm not really certain. And it's just the way we are. We're a very religious country. So, and you know, as I pointed out, so look, the thing about it is I've been praying for it not to rain. So, and maybe, you know, hey, maybe I got more pull with God. Who knows? I don't think I have any pull with God. I'm not even sure God even exists. But, you know, I've been praying for it not to rain. Now, if they want me to stop praying for it not to rain, Governor Perdue, if that's what you want, and all the particularly the religious right people down there, if you want me to stop praying for it not to rain, send me some money, okay? Throw a little green in there, and I'll throw a little grain your way, okay? My good friend Bob Kincaid is reminding me that Jesus said, blessed are the poor, and I've got an in. Oh. What did he say? Blessed all the cheesemakers. Yes, apparently they're going to inherit the earth. Oh, wonderful. From Life of Brian. Of course, he doesn't necessarily mean cheesemakers, dear. He could be referring to just all members of the dairy community. Yeah. That's a great movie. If you've never seen Monty Python's Life of Brian, it's a brilliant, brilliant movie. It's the second movie they made after Holy Grail, and you can get it on DVD now, and it's absolutely fantastic. In that particular scene, they took Jesus and they went to the Sermon on the Mount, and they went all the way to the back where people couldn't quite understand what he was saying and were misinterpreting what he says. Gee, that never happens in real life, does it? Several issues coming up, and you know what? What I'm going to do before I start talking about them, I want to take a little break. If you want to call in, it's going to be you're not going to have many more chances to call in and talk to me, but if you do want to call in, give me a call, 304-658-5453, 304-658-5453. If you want to call in the toll-free number, 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Let me take a little break here, try to make some money. And we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
When I'm president, I'm going to say to members of Congress and members of my administration, including my cabinet, I'm glad that you have health care coverage and your family has health care coverage. But if you don't pass universal health care by July of 2009, in 6 months, I'm going to use my power as president to take your health care away from you. There's no excuse for politicians in Washington having health care when you don't have health care.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, following nighttime Cup of Joe. We'll take a look at the King, Elvis Presley.
The first car I ever bought was the most beautiful car I've ever seen. It was secondhand, but I parked it outside of my hotel the day I got it and sat up all night just looking at it.
Be there this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, right here on the Head On Radio Network, and find out what happened to that car.
I say, oh, meet me in a hurry behind the bars. Don't you be afraid, I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring along my rocking shoes, cause tonight I'm going to rock away.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2-new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen to me, Marvin Hamlisch. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, we're back. Hey, where do I go to find out, where do I go the minute I find out I've got breasts? That's what I want to know. Where do I go the minute I find out I got breasts? Oh, my goodness. Speaking of religious fanatics and the idiotic things that they do. There was a diary from the Daily Kos that I got from Atrios, I guess. Just bouncing around websites tonight, seeing what's going on. And this is a little news bit from Colorado, where, you know, as you know, the baseball team is chosen by God to get their asses kicked by the Red Sox in the World Series, but that's another story. The Colorado Supreme Court, let me read the news here, and this is from the Colorado Times, I guess, that's from Google News, from the Associated Press. The Colorado Supreme Court cleared the way Tuesday for an anti-abortion group to collect signatures for a ballot that would define a fertilized egg as a person. The court approved the language of the proposal, rejecting a challenge from abortion rights supporters who argued that it was misleading and dealt with more than one subject in violation of the state constitution. If approved by voters, the measure would give fertilized eggs the state constitutional protections of inalienable rights, justice, and due process. Well, I've brought this subject up before, and you talk about sanctity of life, which is a whole bunch of crap. George Carlin had a much better view of sanctity of life than I could ever see. And it, the whole idea is ridiculous to begin with, because first of all, let me put it this way from a legal point of view. Okay, if you're assuming that a fertilized egg is a life, is a human being, and it gets aborted, okay, then it's murder, plain and simple, right? So do you put the mother in jail? Do you put the doctor in jail? Do you charge the husband or the family members, anybody who helped out getting the abortion, with abettance in murder? Okay, when someone has a miscarriage, and miscarriages happen, I don't know the numbers, I don't know the statistics, I just know they happen. Okay, when someone has a miscarriage, do you launch a police investigation? What is it? Was there one state where when someone was pregnant, that you filled out like a birth certificate or something like that? And, you know, the doctor had to keep it on file or something. This is a human being, you know, blah, blah, blah. Can you name it? Can you name a blastocyte? Because they want to define it as the second the sperm hits the egg, second it's fertilized. So can you name a blastocyte? That's what I want to know. What was it? Did I read somewhere that there was some sort of Jewish tradition, I guess, that a baby wasn't considered human until it was like 9 days old, until it survived 9 days? And that was because, you know, back then there was a lot of infant mortality, and they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to go too nuts over something that wasn't going to live that long. You know what I'm saying? Hang on a second. But all I'm saying is we've got to be consistent about this. If the doctor knows a woman is pregnant, and then all of a sudden she's not pregnant, so she had a miscarriage. Miscarriages happen. But how does the doctor know, how do the police know that somebody didn't do something to cause that miscarriage? Now, granted, I understand, you know, if a guy murders a woman who's pregnant, he gets charged with a double homicide, you know. You know, and that's you know, and I understand that, and I agree with that. But there's a difference between, you know, consensual and non-consensual, and the Republicans don't seem to understand that. Digby had a really good post about that just yesterday, as a matter of fact. But the point of the matter is, are you going to go have a police investigation of every miscarriage? Is that what you want your family to go through? Do you want your family to go through that? If someone has a miscarriage, which is a pretty horrible thing to go through if you really want to have a kid, okay? If you really want to have a kid, it's a pretty horrible thing to go through. Then you have to turn around and have a police go about it, asking questions, what did you do? Did you do this? And trying to determine if they did it on purpose. Is that what you want? Because that's what you're going to have. If a fertilized egg is a human being, if a blastocyte is a human being that has all the rights to life, freedom, and everything, you know, then what's to stop it from calling it murder if you have an abortion? Okay, even, you know, whether it's jumping on a trampoline or what are some of the things that people used to do? And Bob Kincaid is talking to me, and you know, Bob knows more about this stuff than I do. He said the ancient Mexica didn't give a formal name to their children until age 7 because of all the pitfalls of childhood. Ray Hinckley, my good friend Ray from Unreported News, is telling me that Roman theologians used to believe that an embryo was not human until the last trimester. Now, I'm perfectly fine to say no abortions into the third trimester. I'm perfectly fine with that, except, you know, in case of the health of the mother. Look, these people are not pro-life. Don't, you know, they say that, and they're real good at the sloganeering. Don't get me wrong, they're real good at the sloganeering, but it has nothing to do with life. Because, you know, as I've said time and time again, for these people, life begins at conception and ends at birth. Okay? It begins at conception and ends when you're born. Because once you're born, they don't give a damn about you. Medical care goes through. You know, you want a chance for a better job? Hey, go work at McDonald's. Peter Godbold is telling me that the Bible says that life begins at first breath. Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that. Can you give me a Bible quote on that? Can you give me Peter? Can you tell me Can you give me a chapter and verse on that? That would be really good. But these people aren't pro-life. They're anti-choice. They're authoritarian control freaks. It has nothing to do with life. And I love how George Carlin put it, because you know, that's where you want to go sometimes for stuff like that, as a great comedian. You know, because they can sometimes just point things out. And he's saying, this is just life arguing for the sake of life. Okay, this is, you know, you don't hear Abbott and Costello talking about, you know, the problems of life and death, because, hey, they're dead. Begins at conception and ends at birth. Once the baby's out the chute, you're on your own, pal. That's the Republican way. And how far do you want to take that? If you're assuming that every fertilized egg is a life, and some people go to say they don't want, when a couple goes, for example, to a fertility clinic, which is where you go because you want to have a baby, and they remove several eggs from the woman's ovary, and you know, not every egg in the woman's lifetime gets used, okay? That's what's called menstruation, right? But there were evangelists in Britain and in this country who were trying to prevent fertility clinics from destroying eggs that had been, you know, stored for a length of time. Okay? Now, and they were arguing that these were all potential human beings. Okay, which is, and again, even it's even more ridiculous proposition. But hey, if we're doing ridiculous propositions, let's go right to the end of it. Let's take the most ridiculous logical outcome of this. If you're assuming that every single egg is a potential human life, and by circumstance every single sperm, then first of all, every male, except for the ones that for some reason are born without a penis, okay, or about without a working penis, is guilty of mass murder on an unbelievable scale. Because every time a guy is not, shall we say, master of his domain, that's millions of lives right there. And of course, it doesn't really matter that not every sperm is going to be fertilized. But imagine if it did. Imagine if we could bring to life every single sperm and every single egg. You know, and you know, we talk about population, and you know, maybe the population of the planet isn't quite reached crisis proportion yet. But eventually, there is a limit to the number of human beings that this planet can support. Okay, Peter Godbold is quoting Genesis 2:7, when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Jewish law traditionally considers that personhood begins at birth. Okay. So, at any rate, the point is, the ultimate point is, that if you go back, you know, if you take this to its logical conclusion, and you even talk about eggs being potential lives, sperm being potential lives, the first thing you need to do is make sure every one of your daughters is impregnated as soon as they even show signs of puberty. You can declare a menstrual cycle to be murder. So I guess that's why they want to go to the fertilized egg route, but you know, why stop there? Now, the other end of that, of course, the other extreme, is a determination of who's worthy of living and who isn't worthy of living. But you know what? I think if we're rational human beings, that we can kind of make these distinctions. Now, these right-to-lifers will talk about the millions of people who died because of abortions, you know. If we had, you know, and that was one of the things that one of the guys pointed out, one of the right-wingers pointed out. And again, I don't know I can't recall exactly who it was that said it, but it was, you know, we wouldn't have this problem with the workforce if we hadn't aborted 10 billion children, you know, the last 20 or 30 years. You know, God. You just want to take a baseball bat. It's enough to make you want to take a baseball bat and just start whacking away, because it's so stupid. And it's all obvious. It's all obvious pandering. Yeah, that fetus might have cured cancer. Yeah, that's another one Bob Kincaid pointed out. That's another line. Oh, it might have done that. Yeah, well, it might have been an ex-Hitler, too. Quite frankly, I wish Barbara Bush had gotten more abortions. Wish Barbara would have had her tubes tied when she was 13. Quite frankly. It's just sickening. It's just sickening. And here we have another one here. I love this. This is a quote from Vicente Navarro, an article from Counterpunch website, counterpunch.com, I believe. What does he say? Love of country is measured by the extent to which one promotes policies that support the well-being and quality of life of the population, and most particularly the working and middle classes that make up the vast majority of the population. Judged by this standard, most super patriotic right-wing forces fail miserably on the love of country front. People in this nation die due to lack of health care. The estimates vary from 18,000 to 100,000 a year, depending on how you measure preventable deaths. Preventable deaths. I'm Joey two times here. I'm just repeating this. But even based on the most conservative number of 18,000 from the Conservative Institute of Medicine, this is six times the number of people killed on 9/11 by Al-Qaeda, and these deaths continue year after year. The deaths on 9/11 are rightly seen as the result of enemy action. But why do the 18,000 deaths each year go unnoticed? Why aren't they seen as the outcome of hostile forces whose love for their country is clearly nil? Mark Twain said, "You cannot love people and then go to bed with those who oppress them." Why is this such a difficult concept to understand? Why is it so difficult to understand such a basic truth? End quote. And that's absolutely right. People die because of poverty in this country. I've heard Neil Bortz joke about homeless people, you know, dying because of freezing cold conditions. They don't care about that. To them, well, they deserved it. They were alive, and it's nothing to do with life, and everything to do with the same old authoritarian, totalitarian, control freaks that have basically made life miserable for most people throughout the course of human history. All right, let's go ahead and take a second break here. We're talking for about 20 minutes or so. So we're going to take another break. Last chance to call in for the night. 304-658-5453 if you want to talk about this. 304-658-5453. Toll free number 877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. UAW Ford workers have ratified the tentative contract with Ford. The UAW says it protects wages, benefits, and seniority for active members, and says it also provides income and health care security for retired Ford UAW members. But as the publication In These Times notes, the U.S. auto contracts negotiated by the UAW this year effectively repeal the landmark 1950 Treaty of Detroit contracts. Those contracts not only lifted up auto workers' families with good wages and benefits, but set a high bar that became the de facto manufacturing wage and benefits standard in America. Thanks to these 2007 contract agreements, thousands of the next generation of UAW auto workers will earn half what current workers earn, will have no company-guaranteed health care in retirement, and have less retirement security. The House has passed a transportation bill that includes a ban on funding for Bush's Mexican Trucks program. The Teamsters' Leslie Miller says the union is happy about the vote, but it won't necessarily end the battle to keep unsafe Mexican trucks off U.S. highways.
It's what we expected, but nevertheless, we're delighted. The Senate has to vote on it again, and then President Bush has said he'll veto the bill. I don't know if there's going to be an override or not, so who knows? That's up in the air. The other thing, though, that's going on is that we are continuing our lawsuit against the Mexican truck program.
The United Steelworkers are encouraging Grupo Mexico to pay attention to a new report for the sake of Mexican mine workers. Jesse Russell reports.
According to the United Steelworkers, a new report highlighting serious health and safety violations at copper mines owned by Grupo Mexico in Sonora, Mexico, is a wake-up call. The report discovered failing equipment, high levels of toxic dust and acid mist, and a lack of health and safety programs to educate workers. The USW represents Grupo Mexico workers at mines in Texas and Arizona. They issued the statement in solidarity with the Mexican workers.
Ellen DeGeneres redeemed herself in the eyes of striking writers in New York City. The talk show host was preparing to break the line by recording her show in New York City, the home of the Writers Guild of America East. Upon hearing the news that DeGeneres has reconsidered, WGA East President Michael Windisch issued a statement saying members are delighted that she will not be taping and asking that she not cross the guild picket lines at the NBC studios in Burbank, where her show usually is produced. Time for the economic report now with Jesse Russell.
One billionaire is going to bat for the little guy. On Wednesday, Warren Buffett tackled the growing income gap in the United States by calling for an estate tax. He is quoted by Reuters as saying, "Dynastic wealth, the enemy of a meritocracy, is on the rise. Equality of opportunity has been on the decline. A regressive and meaningful estate tax is needed to curb the movement of a democracy towards plutocracy."
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Just a jingle everywhere I go. All right, enough of that. I love that song, I really do. I'm not generally a big fan of David Lee Roth, but I think he did a real good version of that song. Great music video, too. If you've never seen that music video, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. That is one of the all-time classic music videos where he's kind of parroting all the other ones. And there's this really terrific scene in that where, well, it starts out, you know, he's doing his dance bit in front of them. They have these people who are censors, and they got a guy who's like a priest, and a lady is like, you know, oh. No, Ray, I can't sing on the radio, okay? I can try. but anyway, they've got the sequence where one of the priests who's the censor has a heart attack, and they got the doctor pounding on his chest in a real dramatic way, and they got the nurse with the buttons down, you know, showing her cleavage in a short skirt, just holding the bottle of IV, you know, very sexily. It's really, really classic little scene. Very, very overplayed and overblown, and all that. But anyway, enough of that. A lot of other stuff going on. So much stuff to talk about. I talked the other day about Hillary Clinton and how I'm leaning towards supporting her at this point. Again, I don't want to get into big fights with the Kucinich fans here because I'm not anti-Dennis Kucinich at all. My feeling above and beyond anything else, though, is that don't listen to what the media says about Hillary Clinton. Don't listen to what any of these guys, because they're just a bunch of lying bastards when it comes down to that. The Atrios and Daily Coast and other people have pointed out that the Clinton rules, which means you can feel free to lie and say and do anything so long as it has to do with the Clintons. And there was a story that came out just last week. It was last week. I don't remember. I don't have a good head for dates. At any rate, about a campaign stop that Hillary had made in Iowa at a little diner somewhere. And what was the name of the diner? It doesn't really matter. I'll find it. It's in here somewhere. Made Right. That's the name of the place. And apparently some NPR, who ought to know better, and I don't really care much for public radio much these days. I have to listen to it every day. They spend half of their time begging for money, which they shouldn't have to do in the first place. But at any rate, they apparently they were claiming that she didn't leave a tip, working class, you know, working class supporter Hillary didn't leave a tip, you know, to this waitress who she singled out as a working mother, blah, 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 blah. And it turned out the story wasn't true. What apparently happened was that they left the tip with the register and the waitress never got it. That's happened before. If you've ever worked in restaurants, sometimes that happens. But, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. And they went back to the waitress and talked to her about it. And her name was, what's her name? Let me get back to it. What is her name? Anita Easterday. Anita Easterday. They asked Ms. Easterday about the whole thing. And she said, and this is perfect. She said, you people are really nuts. There's kids dying in the war. There's the price of oil right now. And there's better things in this world to be thinking about than who served Hillary Clinton at Maid Right and who got a tip and who didn't get a tip. End quote. Now, this is a waitress making probably around $2 an hour, because if you know, for occupations that get mostly tips, you know, their hourly wages are very low. This is a waitress who's barely getting by, single mom, working two jobs, okay? And here are these well-paid morons, more people who should have been aborted as far as I'm concerned, in the media. I mean, can you know, look, if you don't like Hillary Clinton's vote, if you don't on the war, and that's a legitimate cause not to vote for her, and I certainly don't argue with people about that, because it was a stupid vote, and it's kind of it's wrong for her to kind of try to weasel out of it when she's smart enough to know what the implications are of a vote like that on such an important issue. That's an issue you can oppose her on. But what are these guys talking about? You know, the cackle, she claps like a Chinese person. You know, and don't get me wrong, you know, they're only going after Hillary, A, because she's the front runner, and B, because she's a Clinton. And like I said, the Clinton rules go for everybody. Okay? And they will go after John Edwards just as much. John Edwards had a very nice campaign commercial there just now. And I like John Edwards. I like all of our candidates. All the ones. They're certainly better than any of the crazy rad bastards that are on the Republican side. But you know what they did? They called John Edwards the Breck girl, you know, and they did that whole someone did that I feel pretty video. And I mean, come on. It's just like with John Kerry. Look, I was not John Kerry's biggest fan. But if you're going to attack him for a reason, okay? You know, the Swift Boat stuff was about the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. But it's no surprise coming from the Republicans, because this is what they do. They talk all they want about supporting the troops, and yet when you have soldiers, when you have real war heroes, who, because they have gone through stuff, maybe have a different point of view, and realize that sometimes they're just being used, like the soldiers are being used now, they'll attack them. I'll never forget those little Band-Aids that they were wearing at the Republican convention, a little Band-Aid with a Purple Heart thing, because, you know, that Kerry obviously didn't earn his Purple Hearts. I mean, that's what they do. And the only reason they get away with that is that these well-paid, I can't say it on the air, they go along with it. The people in the media, the professionals who make a lot of money. And then they found out recently, Tim Russert asked a question to Hillary about something that said went to her character or something like that. And you know, it was kind of one of those, you know, when did you stop beating your wife questions. Which turned out, and it turned out to be totally false anyway, having to do with records that are planning on being released, blah 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 blah. And you notice they didn't say one word to George Bush about, you know, why did he sign an executive order that basically, you know, makes it nearly impossible to get a hold of a presidential records. You know, it's okay if you're a Republican. It's illegal if you're a Democrat. And anything goes when it comes to the Clintons. And it really, really kind of pisses me off. And the thing about it is, part of it is making me want to vote more for Hillary. Yeah, but, you know, yeah, Bob Kincaid is pointing out there was a great line of LBJ saying, yeah, I just want, you know, putting out something like that, and there's, you know, I just want to hear it tonight. Hey, you know, the Democrats have played dirty politics, too. Okay, but I can't remember a Democrat doing something like that to you know, talking about somebody's war record. Okay. When Bill Clinton was going up against Bob Dole in 96, I mean, he attacked his policies. He went after what, you know, he thought was wrong for the country. But I remember, you know, that there was a debate and Clinton was talking to a reporter and, you know, saying, look, you see the two of us here together. We obviously like each other and we're good friends, you know, apart from opposing each other. You know, I mean, words to that effect. I'm not quoting exactly, of course. And he never attacked Bob Dole's military record. He never did anything like that. He just says, look, he's wrong for the country. Okay? Well, I remember Harry Truman talking about this, not remember, because obviously I wasn't alive back then, but, you know, I've heard Harry Truman, I've read Harry Truman talking about this, and saying, look, you know, you just give him hell. Never apologize. And I'm for that. I'm for being aggressive. I wish Hillary had stood up more to George W. Bush. It makes me not want to vote for her. Okay? But that's a reason not to vote for her. Just like I have a reason not to vote for Dennis Kucinich in the primaries. I'm not doing it because he's unelectable. Frankly, I'm not going to let a Republican tell me how to vote. You know? That's it. I'm not going to let a Republican choose my candidate for me. I have serious reasons for not voting for people, just as I have serious reasons for voting for people. Okay? Bob Kincaid wants to know what's my take on the phony question. My take on it is that we should take a baseball bat and bash Tim Russert's skull in. That's my take on it. That's my take on it. Yeah, okay, I'm a crazy militant bastard, all right? Because I'm sick of this, and I'm sick of them doing this every single time, and they're going to do it to every damn candidate we've got. Asking phony questions, just making us look bad, taking stuff right from the friggin' Republican playbook. Stenographers, man. And I don't understand what it is they love about the Republicans who basically just diss them. You know, Bob, the Clinton camp was caught pulling a Georgia. You know, I saw something about that, and I don't have all the facts, but it's still not the same thing. And, of course, quite frankly, the media is not going to let them get away with it as much. Stuff like that's going to get out a lot more. So, you know, I'm just sick of the whole damn thing. I'm just sick of the whole damn thing. I'm sick of it. I want them all out, quite frankly. We can keep Kucinich in there. We can keep a few real progressives in there. But quite frankly, I'm for cleaning the entire slate, Democrat and Republican. And, you know, the planting the questions thing, that's something that politicians have done. I mean, that to me, that's the kind of dirty trick that's kind of, well, you kind of sort of expect it, blah, 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 blah. But the media is not supposed to be the one doing that stuff. The media is supposed to be the ones that are really asking the tough questions and being tough on everybody. So is Senator Clinton the single most vulnerable of all the Democrats to Republicans? It doesn't matter. They're going to be just as hardcore and just as nasty on anybody. Don't pick your candidate based on that. That's what I'm saying. Excuse me a second. Don't pick your candidate based on that. Quite frankly, I hope if Hillary gets the nomination that a few of them have heart attacks and die, okay? I'm hoping that half the South gets apoplexy and bust the vein because they're so angry. Why that Hillary? It'll be better than the killer joke from Monty Python where you read it and you died. I wish the rapture would come and take some of these people away, quite frankly. Even though I don't believe in it. Oh, my God. So, look, I'm not saying I'm going to support Hillary. I'm not saying any of you out there should support Hillary. I'm not saying anybody should support any particular candidate. I have made my point clear. I am for Al Gore. If Al Gore chooses to get into the race, the rupture. Bob Kincaid, you want the rupture to happen. My hernia, oh! I'm not telling anybody who you should or shouldn't vote for. What I'm saying is that you shouldn't let the media and you shouldn't let the opposition determine who you're going to vote for, either in the primary or the general election. And you shouldn't let them determine that on the basis of, you know, whether or not, you know, the opposition's going to be more hardcore against them. Who cares? I had a caller a while ago, and we were talking about Kucinich. She said, "Well, you know, don't be sitting there telling me he's unelectable." I said, "I never said he was unelectable. He's perfectly electable. As far as I'm concerned, if he gets the nomination, you know, I'm a Kucinich guy. I'll go out there and canvass for him. Hell, I signed a petition here in Chicago, even though I don't necessarily support him in the primary. I signed a petition to help get him on the ballot because I think he deserves to be on the ballot. He's a good man. I don't think he'd make a great president, but that's okay. I'm entitled to my opinion along those lines. And again, I have real reasons for it. It has nothing to do with whether or not he's electable. It has to do with perceived experience and skill in getting the job done and having the vision that's necessary. He's a good progressive congressman, and we need good progressive congressmen. Ones that won't get killed in small aircraft. We have a vote in this country, and a lot of people don't use it. A lot of people waste it. A lot of people throw it away. A lot of people don't pay enough attention. Hell, even as much attention as I pay, I still don't know as much as I probably should know for making these decisions. And I wish there was a better way of doing things. I'm certainly not like my my counterpart on my blog, who occasionally writes comments, goes by the name of Plymouth Belvedere. His real name is Bruce Lewis. Nice guy. He doesn't try to hide his name. He just likes using the funny name. And, you know, he's a monarchist. I'm not a monarchist. I'm not a communist. I might be a socialist to a certain extent. That might be as far left as I lean. But this is as far out as I go on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for me tonight because the clock is slowly running out on me. I just wanted to say before I go, again, remind everybody, there will be no live show tomorrow on the 15th of November. And I will be back on Friday, and then we'll deal with what comes next after that. Coverage of radio shows.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of Joan, don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug, with the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave, give me a pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of pink, that'll do every trick, serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Sean, do I need to go on, I want Kappa Joe, yeah, da 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 da. Jar of John, don't put anything on.
on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Dove with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave?
This is the Head On Radio Network.